You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 8 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger around those excellent ShopRite results. Dennis Hobson from Investec, global supply chains still under pressure. When do we start to see some sort of reprieve? And then Sean Saunders from Revex, Solana. It's a crypto he mentioned back earlier in the year, and it's been going absolutely crazy, the what, whys, and the hows. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. The morning headlines for MoneyWeb SA's infrastructure drive is starting to gain momentum. Government to take the second round of projects to market for funding. It's been slow. It's been very slow, but it is getting there. Business Day, Old Mutual updates the 2021 economic growth forecast to 5.5%. This is by a long way the most bullish forecast I've seen for 2021. That as our economy grew 1.2% in the second quarter. Morning markets, we had the US overnight, S&P up a third, Nasdaq up 0.2, Asia's mixed, Sydney down 0.3, Tokyo up 0.8. Commodities, red overnight, gold 17.99, rand 14.31. Top 40 opening call for red open, but about 110 points down, that's about 1.15%, that as Tencent trades off 0.1% in Hong Kong.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown
on the Money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Mia Kruger, Director at Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning time. Results coming out yesterday. ShopRite headline earnings up 20%, dividend up 42%. As I was reading through the results, and I own the company, so I was a happy reader. They just ticked almost pretty much every box. A really stellar set of numbers.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, it was. I mean, they actually did much better than anyone anticipated them to do. And we had expectations of them to do pretty well. But yes, I mean, they just shot the light out in terms of the quality of business that they are and where they're going. I mean, they've been on the forefront in South Africa during COVID. They've been the company leading the tech development and rollout in terms of 60-60. And they're really benefiting most South Africans due to the fact that during COVID, they were less than 5 kilometers away of nearly 80% of the South African population, which is an unbelievable thing to think about, you know, and when you think about all of this and then still read that they were able to improve their profit margin with nearly a percentage point from 5.3 to 6.1%, that is just unbelievable. And I mean, that is nearly double the closest competitor, which is Pick n Pay Stores, so in South Africa. So I'm absolutely impressed by these numbers, and I think it's a great result.
Certainly on the JC, I mean, I think it's the best food retailer in the JC. That's a fairly small pool. You also obviously invest globally, have global portfolios. Does it stack up against global peers?
It does, Simon. You know, I think when you consider the fact that that ShopRite is South African, but it still has slight exposure to Africa. Mm-hmm. They've been managing that very well. Just to do a comparison against many of the global competitors, when you consider Tesco and you consider Sainsbury's and all of those companies, ShopRite is very profitable compared to those companies, and ShopRite is focused on the lower end of the market. ShopRite is growing the base of shoppers, which is another big thing. You know, in South Africa and Africa especially, you need someone who knows their market. And when you look at the ways they've been able to do that, they've been increasing their X-Saver, which is their loyalty program. They have over 21 million subscribers to that, which is like a third of the population in South Africa, if you count in everyone, which is, I mean, incredible. So they get a lot of good information from that. They're focusing a lot on their tech development and AI, where they try to give you specific promotions that are focused on you. And, you know, it's not just good for the consumer. It's really good for the company because they don't have so much advertising spillage. So they're spending their money wisely and they're focusing their attention to really where global innovation is going. So they're a leader on so many levels at this stage.
Yeah, and I was going to say, they're not cheap. It's not expensive. But a PE of 19, but a dividend yield of 3%. I mean, for the quality, that's probably a fair price.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember the other day when ShopRite was trading here at 130 Rand and everyone was dissing the company
yeah.
and saying, you know, is this the thing to hold? And it definitely was. So, ShopRite just shows that you are, at this stage, paying for what you get, a quality company. And yes, I mean, I don't think that they and their business model will change anywhere soon. As I mentioned, they've managed to change their African operations to a profitable unit. They made over 300 million rand profit in this past reporting season, and they will be able to expand that footprint again now that they've tried to get the distribution and the sourcing in those areas to a more local region. That was one of the problems that they sat with before. So, I mean, they've streamlined the business in areas where they weren't streamlined. They're still expanding. They bought that Massmart business now, which will add approximately 10% to their revenue line, and they will employ a further 7,000 people. I mean, that's another thing. They're the largest employer in South Africa, and they managed to not let go any of their workers that were influenced during this looting time through some of their stores that haven't been opened again. And they're protecting that 3,500 people there. They've managed to create another 4,000 jobs, and they say that they're planning to do the same during this year. So absolutely commendable performance.
We'll leave that there, as my sound engineer points out. When I say I own the company, I own a tiny, tiny slice of the company. Our poll today on LinkedIn and our Twitter profile, talking around ShopRite, do you agree with me at one of the best available out there? Do you perhaps prefer others? Or maybe you're offshore, but even as Mia says, Tesco, Sainsbury, ShopRite is more profitable.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Dennis Hobson, logistics and pricing analyst at Investec. Dennis, appreciate the early morning time. Yeah, we want to touch on global supply chains. Before we go global, locally we saw those riots in KZN in July. We then had the Transnet cyber attack. I'm imagining in supply chains that were already sort of struggling, that's only made things worse.
Yes, good morning, Simon. I think say imports are really at a difficult last 18 months. Probably the best way to describe it is it's been very erratic, and there's no predictability at the moment within supply chain. So what happened now with the cyber attacks and the riots, it just compounded all the disruptions that the clients have already, or importers have already experienced. And it's really made companies rethink of how they manage their supply chains in very uncertain times, and it's not going to improve in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, we're heading into peak shipping period globally. I mean, the US Black Friday, Northern Hemisphere, obviously Christmas and the like. And that peak shipping period is coming under a supply chain under pressure. It's only going to get tighter through the rest of the year as we try and move more around.
No, exactly. And we're actually currently in that peak shipping period. But very important to keep in mind is it's not that global demand is, you know, shot through the roof. It's really the bottlenecks within the supply chain and continuous disruptions that, you know, it's a bit of a snowball effect. And the USA is always the interesting market because their volume has actually increased and the demand's increased. And that's, and they've got their own bottlenecks within within the USA. So your vessels are being stuck in at their ports, especially Los Angeles. You've got containers being stuck in America, not getting back to areas like China. So there's equipment challenges. So it capacity becomes an issue. Your equipment availability or container availability becomes an issue. So orders don't ship on time. And that's probably the biggest impact right now. And also your big transshipment hubs like Singapore, where they're up to 3 to 5 weeks delays. And any import, especially in the retail side, that is importing cargo now for maybe Black Fridays or your traditional peak retail period time, they at risk of having orders arriving late and then potentially losing sales and then market share.
Yeah, and this, I mean, the suppliers, I mean, the manufacturers and the like, they've got those troubles. And for us as consumers, I mean, this is going to potentially, as you mentioned, push delays. Something that perhaps we want to buy for Christmas simply might not arrive. Potentially also price increases. I mean, you know, containers, I keep on hearing that container prices are 4 times what they used to be and have been for pretty much all of this year.
Yeah, so that pricing side is really creating a lot of havoc for clients or importers, in the sense that their landed cost, they don't have predictability in terms of what they're going to land their product at. So trying to price on or what can they maybe pass on to consumers becomes very tricky. You know, your certain importers that have high value cargo coming in can maybe absorb that the increases, but mm-hmm. your smaller retailers or low value cargo, it's a lot more difficult to absorb that increase in price. And right now, if I compare this year to last year this time, we've got a tenfold increase in freight rates coming out of the Far East into South Africa. And that's the main trade.
Yeah, and that is giant. And as you said, the smaller folks certainly under more pressure. It's tough this year. I mean, do we get a sense of when this will sort of start clearing? I mean, I've been chatting to supply chain experts, logistic experts over the course of the year. And initially it was, you know, it was saying, by the end of the year, now early 22. I mean, when do we sort of think that things will start to return to normal? The bottlenecks will unbottle and perhaps freight prices will start coming down.
Oh, right now, that's a $1 million question. we can look at certain factors in sense of when we anticipate the market to start to recover to some kind of normality. But the new normal, you know, there's going to be a new normal, mm-hmm. and the pre-COVID time, we're not going to see prices at those levels again. Capacity is going to come into the market. There are new ship builds taking place, but they take a long time to build. Yeah. You know, so it's probably only in 18 months' time you start to see new vessels come into the market, and that'll add some capacity. Containers are being manufactured in China at a rapid rate, but they, they also have their own constraints. And so the significant side right now is, you know, we anticipate at the beginning of the year forecasting that, yes, end of the year things should be a lot lot more stable, but then you had the Suez Canal incident. You had the Yantian terminal being closed. You had now recently Ningbo, the Meishan terminal. You've had COVID outbreak in Shanghai International Airport. So these events continue to happen, and that just keeps delaying any kind of timeline for recovery. You've also got the Chinese Golden Week coming up beginning of October, and then you start going into beginning of next year, you have the Chinese New Year. So there are a few events still coming up that could, you know, if you have any major disruption around those times, it just creates further disruption to the market and bottlenecks, and that could then delay the recovery. But right now, I'd say past quarter one at least.
Okay, at least past quarter one, but I take your point. That is the $1 million question, and it's been dynamic, and it keeps getting kicked down the road. Dennis Hobson, logistics pricing analyst, Investec. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Sean Saunders, founder Revix. Sean, appreciate the early morning time. Back in May, we were talking about altcoins, alt crypto coins, and you casually mentioned Solana, and I went and did some digging. I didn't buy any. It's up, I think, eightfold since you mentioned it in May. It's about 80-fold up year to date. Total market cap over 50 billion. This is, having sort of dug around, I went and I saw some of the projects running on it. This is the evolution of crypto as blockchain, perhaps more than currency, and this is what Solana is offering, and hence the enthusiasm for it. Is that a fair analysis?
Yeah, I think that is, and thanks very much for having me this morning. So just before we started this segment of the podcast, you were talking about supply chains.
Yeah.
And if you start thinking about blockchain and the ability to impact areas outside of just maybe moving value, I mean, I think people get caught up with the idea of what a currency is supposed to do, and probably the name cryptocurrency is actually a bit of a misnomer. It should probably be a crypto asset. But if you're looking at solving supply chains, getting involved with the world of DeFi, you need blockchain infrastructure, right? So blockchain networks that can sort of power this evolution. And that's really where Solana comes in. And I mean, if you look at sort of what's happened with Ethereum over the last while, Ethereum's kind of become a victim of its own success. It's got so much popularity, so many people are building on top of it, that it's become almost impossible to use. Just for reference, you know, we tried to execute a very basic transaction on the Ethereum network yesterday at Revix, and we had to pay over $300 for that transaction. And just for reference sake, using Solana would have cost us less than 2 US cents. So $300 to 2 US cents. And the Solana blockchain is far more scalable than Ethereum. So this has led to a lot of application developers, to a whole lot of protocols and platforms moving over from the likes of Ethereum and moving to Solana. And I mean, another cryptocurrency, which is actually very similar to Solana, is Cardano, which has also been doing really well over the last few months.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, Bitcoin is 10 years ago, it was new and innovative, but the network was slow. They put a sort of lightning and infrastructure over it to try and improve that. Solana's come in. It's about that speed and about the price. In essence, I suppose it's technology, but also as we become aware of what we want to use these crypto assets, and I like that distinction, we're moving it forward, and that Solana solves it. And then I can't help wondering, I mean, you mentioned Cardano, you know, if we chat in a year or three's time, perhaps there's yet another one which is better, faster, cheaper, and slicker.
Oh, completely. And I mean, this is the entire narrative that we've had at Revix. I mean, not to be punting our products or anything, but I'm going to do it here. The idea really with our top 10 bundle, really, which provides exposure to the top 10 cryptocurrencies, is to do exactly that. It's to say, you can't guess which of these cryptocurrencies are going to be the big success stories of the future, right? You've got Chainlink, which is looking to sort of solve a very big problem in the crypto space where you link different blockchains. Because currently, you know, the Bitcoin blockchain can't really communicate to the Ethereum network or Solana. So Chainlink's looking essentially to be able to have information transfer between them. Polkadot's doing something very similar. Then you've got the likes of Ethereum, Cardano, Solana that are coming in and doing something very different in terms of a sort of blockchain as a service offering. And you know, the market's sort of speaking for itself. Bitcoin dominance, which shows the total value of Bitcoin relative to all the other cryptocurrencies in existence, has gone from 71% at the start of the year to 41% today. And this is just showing that, you know, even though Bitcoin's up nearly 250% over the last 12 months, you've seen so much value created in the alternative cryptocurrencies. And I like what you mentioned earlier. You said, you know, this is sort of the evolution of this technology. And it's quite important to remember that cryptocurrencies, or if we can call them crypto assets, are really technology. They are like programs, right? So you're looking at the Windows 95s at the moment of the crypto world, right? Fast forward and you start looking at maybe the Windows 10s. And that's really where things get exciting. And the likes of Solana, the likes of Cardano, you know, we recently launched Cardano on our platform. We're actually launching Solana, and we'll be the first platform to do that in South Africa this Friday. But these cryptocurrencies are known as version 3 cryptos. So they're sort of a third generation of cryptocurrencies that are meant to be cheaper to use, more scalable, and, you know, just all around better for the environment as well, which is now, you know, another big point of concern in the crypto space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. And it is an evolution in Windows 95. Of course, it still means we've got to get through Windows 2007, which was a horror one, but we'll worry about that when it gets there. My fun stat of the day is that an investor put just over $3 million into Solana's seed capital 3.5 years ago. It's now worth almost $14.5 billion. That's Sean Saunders, founder at Revix. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts, we were asking around food. We're seeing results coming out of the food manufacturers, and they've got input costs rising. They've been passing in many cases that on. AVI said they're going to put price increases through their products. We asked, have you seen, has your food budget gone up over the last year? Well, 96% of you said yes. 3% said hadn't noticed. 1% said not what I eat. Basically, yep, the community out there on LinkedIn and Twitter are noticing food more expensive. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Kudora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.